What's going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of No Reserves Radio. I'm your host, Angelo. With me, as always, is Alex. And Alex, how are you doing, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, guys? What's going on, Angelo?
Cheers.
What? Didn't grab that last part.
Would you like me to get you a mop for those tears?
No. The good thing about us recording, like, basically a week and change, nearly 2 weeks after the Super Bowl, is that I've done all the crying that I need, and I'm ready to
plenty of time to come up with excuses and obfuscate blame and okay,
exactly,
okay,
exactly. See,
okay, like you always do. How's life?
No. Everything good, you know. A bit more tired, but now with no ball, I have more free time because my Sundays are now a bit more free. And now I get to the part of the year in which I have an existential crisis of what I'm doing with my Sundays as well. Because, like, there's nothing right now. And, like, I'm missing the 1 p.m.'s your time. Just coming in for me and me having football from, like, 1 to, I don't know, what, midnight or something? Midnight my time. So 6 your time.
Mm-hmm.
So now, yeah, now I have nothing on Sundays. Sundays are empty now.
For a break, you know, the watching the Bengals give up 40 points every week got it kind of annoying after week 3, and so happy. Honestly, right now, I think in my 30 plus years of existence, this is the most miserable time of my life. But we move on.
Football wise, or just like everything wise, just life.
You're hiding the most pain that I have ever been in since existence. Yeah, because physical pain. Obviously, not mental pain, because I'm always right and you're always wrong. So I just have to bet against you and to be right. But
are you though? Are you?
Yes.
I think that's very debatable.
Your curse is so strong; it got to the fucking like Dynasty Chiefs. I hope you know that. Like,
we'll delve a bit into that soon enough. But yeah, I can see that it's not good for you. Hey, but at least your guy got an award, right? That's good.
Yeah.
He's the most improved player in the NFL. Or no, not most improved, the comeback player of the year.
Absolutely. The comeback player of the year, even though he went to a Super Bowl 2 years ago.
Well, the comeback is technically like from last year, right? Last year he didn't go to the Super Bowl.
He did not.
Hey, by the way, Dan Quinn at plus like 120 watts really wasn't the best thing to do. I see. O'Connell got the win there for the Vikings. So hey, if you paid attention to the show, you got something out of that. Perfect to you guys.
Yeah, that is just the value of the show. This is what you get when you watch the show. No, just
there you go.
Okay, gotta not listen to Alex on game predictions. That's all.
Yeah, but award you predictions. Can, you
sure,
can listen.
Go for it. Game predictions.
Awards.
Not, I wouldn't know it.
So, what did you think of the Super Bowl, and what did you think of the halftime show? Super Bowl. Super Bowl.
I mean, like, let's just skip the banter. Like, are you ready to fucking offer the Eagles a fucking apology like you owe them? You've called them frauds for basically the last 3 years. You've called their head coach incompetent. You've questioned Jalen Hurts. Like, are you just ready to say, you know what? I was wrong. I'm sorry, Eagles and the Eagles fans. You just ready to apologize, man. In fact, you can have the stage, man. Do your apology.
Okay. I would like to apologize to the entirety of the Eagles' defense because I wasn't familiar with that type of game. I knew that they were good. I was not familiar with that type of game, though. I would like to extend my apologies to the defensive coordinator as well, who did a pretty good job, who turned guys that were very good into great, and turned guys who, until now, didn't really have much of a career, like Zach Bond, for example, into absolute key pieces to the Super Bowl run. So I'd like to extend my apologies to them. Outside of that, I don't know, man. I don't think I need to extend an apology to anyone. Like, did anyone, like, substantially rise in the rankings of their position, for example, with the Super Bowl win?
They blew out the three-time Super Bowl AFC representation.
I completely understand that. But let me ask you this. So Jalen Hurts, Super Bowl MVP, right?
Totes.
Okay, perfect. Would you say he is a better QB than Mahomes?
He wasn't that game.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying if we're sitting here in like 3 months and I ask you to name me the top five QBs, is he going to be ahead of Mahomes?
No.
Is he going to be ahead of Josh Allen?
No.
Is he going to be ahead of Joe Burrow?
No.
Is he going to be ahead? And you're probably going to say yes to this one, but I think it's very close. But is he going to be ahead of Lamar Jackson?
Yes.
Okay. So I still think he's behind Lamar Jackson. I think it's close, but I think he's still
clearly not in Super Bowl appearances and titles.
Oh, okay. So, but he's behind of him in, I don't know, MVPs? If we're just throwing
random shit at the wall.
If we're just going up. Okay, then he's better than Burrow and he's better than Josh Allen. You can't have two weights and two measures. If we're speaking like Super Bowls and Super Bowl MVPs are like the one thing that should put him ahead of Lamar Jackson, then that should put him ahead of Burrow and Josh Allen, right?
Burrow's made it to a Super Bowl, first off.
But did he win it?
He did not.
Ah, okay. For a second, I thought I got it wrong there.
I wish he did. But you know what? Maybe I could see a case for Jalen Hurts over Josh Allen. Maybe you are right about that. Maybe I am being too harsh on Lamar and not harsh enough on Josh Allen.
I honestly don't think you are. I think Josh Allen is going to still be talked about ahead of Jalen Hurts by most people. I think Lamar Jackson, when the dust settles, is going to be talked about as a better QB than Jalen Hurts still when we're talking about this in June. And people have forgotten about this. Let's not forget that, like, if I ask you before the Eagles-Commanders game, who would you rather have going into the future? And who was a better QB to you between Jaden Daniels and Jalen Hurts? I'm not entirely certain if, like...
I think those are two different answers.
How so?
You said, who would you rather have going into that game and who would you rather have for the future? Jaden for the future, but in that game, I would have rather had Jalen.
And who would you... I'm saying before that game. I'm not saying going into that game. I'm saying before that game, who would you rather have as the QB for your team? Jaden Daniels or Jalen Hurts? I'm not entirely certain the answer would be 100% Jalen Hurts.
I think it is. I think it... For that game? Yeah. I think it is.
Before that game?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I think it would be fairly close. Like, the way that people were talking about Jaden Daniels... And they're still talking about Jaden Daniels. I think it would be fairly close. So what I'm saying is, I'm not sure why I should be issuing an apology for Jalen Hurts when, like, the defense did a good bunch of the carrying by completely annihilating the Chiefs' defense, the Chiefs' offense. And although, like, the offense had a good game, I don't think that raised the floor or the ceiling of any of those guys. I don't think it raised how people think about, and maybe it took a bit of the doubt away from how people think about Jalen Hurts. But let's not forget that last year, when the team wasn't as good as it is right now, they got bounced in the first round by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So this is still the same QB. This is still the same offense. They added Saquon Barkley, which helped massively. But when the team wasn't at 100%, or like it wasn't this good, like Avengers good, they got bounced in the first round. So I think the Eagles, although the team right now is better, I wouldn't be shocked if we're sitting here next year and like they get bounced in the first round, because we know that
Sirianni is still gonna be called, like his job is still gonna get called for the second that things start to go sour somewhat. And I don't know. I think like they won't be able to retain everyone on defense. I'm still not entirely certain if like some of those guys won't take a step back, like Zach Bond, for example, who had the breakout season out of nowhere. I don't know like how much of that is a one season wonder. So, I mean, props on the Super Bowl, but if you look at the teams, and maybe we gave the QB a bit more credit here than we should, but if you look at the teams, I don't think there's a single position in which the Eagles were worse than the Kansas City Chiefs outside of QB. And would you agree with that? Oh, I don't know if you... Oh, okay, he's back.
So repeat that phrase one more time for me.
No, I'm saying, would you not agree that if you look at every single skill position of the Eagles, or every single position of the Eagles, every single one of the 22 players that started that game, you would probably pick every single one of those players from the Eagles over the guys from the Chiefs outside of QB? Wouldn't that be something fair to say?
No. Well, Kelce versus Goddard?
Well, current Kelce, and we'll get to that probably a bit sooner than I expected. Current Kelce, I would say Goddard's better.
Really?
I would say so.
I mean, there's no doubting Kelce's diminished, but I'm not sure if I still think I'd pick him over Goddard. I think Pacheco and Barkley isn't a debate. The
wide receivers aren't a debate.
Yeah, probably not. Unless you want to put Xavier Worthy at the wide receiver three, then I guess I would take Worthy it. But
yeah, but like. He's probably the one for the Chiefs, or at least in that game, that most definitely was.
Oh, yeah, he was. Oh, my God, he was, yeah. So.
So, maybe. If you look, and then if you look on the defense, I mean, I don't think there's even a case to be made. Maybe now, Chris Jones has a case, and now, that's about it.
That's fair, but now going into this game, I would have told you I would have picked the Chiefs' offensive line over the Eagles' offensive line. After that game, I'm not sure that's the case anymore.
Oh yeah, but it's still. Although an argument could be made for that, like I would say, the difference between the offensive line is minimal at best. That's what I would have said. So it doesn't make up for the difference everywhere else.
That's fair.
I just think like. We maybe put a bit more credit than we should have on the QB discussion between the two teams. But if you take the QBs away, because we, I mean, you were also sort of, you picked the Eagles to win, if I'm not mistaken, or you picked the Chiefs to win, but the Eagles to cover. The line was so small.
No, I didn't pick the Chiefs to win. I picked the Eagles to win.
Yes, okay. You picked the Eagles to win. But you said that something along the lines of, it was 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago.
I said that logically, you probably have the right pick, but I had a gut feeling that something is going to happen in this game that we didn't foresee coming. And that thing is, the Chiefs' offensive line was...
mauled. No,
well, I didn't say this was going to be the thing, but the thing that ended up happening was, the Chiefs' offensive line was going to be absolutely outmatched by the Eagles' defensive line. And I did say, I don't think this is going to be a close Super Bowl if the Eagles win. I think it's going to be a Bronco. I said this exactly. It was going to be similar to the Broncos and the Seahawks. And that's exactly what ended up happening.
Props to you on that one. But what I was saying was, I think we both thought the QB situation was much better for the Chiefs over the Eagles, no?
Well, yeah, but...
like if the QBs were reversed
from the ground, so.
Sure. But it's, if the QBs were reversed, would you have any doubts that the Eagles would win that game?
Yeah, not really.
No, That's sort of what I'm saying, right? As like, the Eagles were such a better team all across the board that I don't think, like...
So then why didn't you see this all along? Why did you continually pick them?
I put too much...
against them every round after round after round. Continue to call them fraudulent. Why didn't you see the thing that I was able to see?
I just put way too much emphasis on the QB. I didn't think that Jalen Hurts was this ready. And I didn't think, he did get the MVP. He did win the Super Bowl. Props to him for that. I just didn't think he was ready for that. And I didn't think in the Super Bowl that the obviously massive difference in QB talent would allow him to win that Super Bowl. So maybe I shouldn't have put as much on the QB, the head-to-head on the QBs. And maybe should have taken into account how much better the Eagles were than the Chiefs as a team. But I put a lot of my eggs on the Mahomes is better than Hurts and Andy Reid is better than Nick Sirianni basket, which I don't think it has changed. I don't think a Super Bowl win changes anything. So as for my apology, I will issue the apology. I will issue the decree for the apology. For the defense, for the offense, and for Sirianni, I'm not issuing anything.
Oh my God.
Right now.
This guy, they win
I'm
this
not
Super
issuing,
Bowl, it's still not good enough after
I'm,
a blowout.
I'm not issuing, an apology for a QB
There's nothing
that just
these won. Guys can do. There's absolutely nothing these guys can do.
I mean, the guy won Super Bowl MVP, and we're discussing if he's maybe the fifth best QB in the league.
Oh my God, dude!
Like, let's be honest. And I'm fairly certain that a few of the fan bases, some of those Herbert fanatics, for example, in June, when you asked them, "Would you rather have Justin Herbert or Jalen Hurts?" A lot of them will go Justin Herbert still. So I don't think I need to make an apology for that guy.
You're just unbelievable. The hate you have for this team and this organization is just mind-boggling. It's like you're looking out into the distance and you don't see what's in front of you.
I think it's justified though, because I just don't like them winning. Like from the outside looking in, from someone that doesn't live in the U.S.
Oh my God!
I just think that. The guys from Philly, when they win anything, it's just way too much. And even when they don't win, I feel like they have that extra, I don't know how I should put it, but it feels like they always whine about something when it's not coming for them. And I feel like at the slightest, and maybe this is all because of Wentz and how that went down in Philly. Because like I just feel like they threw the guy to the side and they threw Doug Peterson to the side the moment that things start to go south. I just don't think they're a loyal fan base. Like when things go sour, I think they are a rowdy fan base. I think they will get behind the team a lot, but the moment that things start to go sour, like they are crying for everyone's head in the table. And I feel like Jalen Hurts is probably going through that at some point in his Philly career. But hey, props to them right now that they won the Super Bowl. And it is what it is, but I'm not issuing an apology for the QB that it's maybe the fifth best QB in the league after winning like everything that he could have won in the Super Bowl. I think that's where I draw the line, that it's people are making it way too much. Like, it doesn't change anything for him right now, I think.
Oh, man.
In the eyes of the public opinion, I don't think that changes anything.
Oh, man.
If anything, it helps the running back's values. Because, I mean, look at this team. They had Saquon Barkley, and they won the Super Bowl.
Oh, man.
Hey.
It's unbelievable.
I'm just calling it how I see it.
It's unbelievable.
I'll ask you right now, though. I have established, I at least have, that this does nothing for Jalen Hurts' current status in the QB rankings, at least in my eyes.
Yes, because top five quarterback isn't, you know, an accomplishment.
No. Go back. Before the season, I think everyone would say that Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, Lamar were in the top four. At the end of the season,
I still think Lamar got two probably unjustified MVPs.
Oh, okay. So it's not justified for that, but it's justified for Jalen Hurts to get the Super Bowl. Yeah, okay. But it's justified for Jalen Hurts to get the MVP and the Super Bowl MVP when the defense was the one that completely shut down Kansas City's offense and the Kansas City dynasty. Okay.
Sure.
We'll move on. Josh Sweat had, like, what, 3 sacks or 4 sacks? Absolute game record. No. Doesn't deserve the MVP. But okay. We'll move on. So these were the top four QBs coming into the season. These are probably, if you ask most people, the top four QBs leaving the season. And then, like, from QB 5 to 10, it was an amalgam of guys between Jalen Hurts, between Justin Herbert, between, I don't know, who else. You could put in that discussion. But there's like an amalgam of guys that always pops up when we're talking about the top QBs. And everything that Jalen Hurts has done this season was get into maybe the top echelon of those QBs from like 5 to 10. I don't think that's like a massive accomplishment. And for that, you had to win Super Bowl MVP. You had to win a Super Bowl and Super Bowl MVP. I just don't think that's much of an accomplishment, but for him personally, in terms of his rise in the QB rankings, that's all that I'm saying. And I don't think it's such an asinine or a blasphemous take to have.
I mean, it's okay. They didn't give Tom his credit for his first few Super Bowls either. So.
Oh shit, we're comparing Jalen Hurts to Tom Brady now. Oh, Jesus fucking Christ, dude. This is the state of the thing in this show, man. Is Angelo comparing Jalen Hurts to Tom Brady? Hey, maybe if you're comparing to commentator Tom Brady, you have a better point there. Do we think that continues? Like, next year?
We think what?
Is he still going to be commentating? He's just so terrible, dude.
Yeah, he is terrible. I don't think so. Here's the catch 22. So, like, you're going to sign him for a gig for an exorbitant amount of money because at the end of the day, it is still Tom fucking Brady. But he probably shouldn't be, if I'm being honest.
The thing with him, though, is that apparently he is much more involved in the Raiders operation than it was thought at first.
Mm-hmm.
And if that is the case, then, like, he shouldn't really have access to anything of the pregame stuff. So he shouldn't have to meet with players, to meet with coaches, because that technically puts into question the integrity of the league, which the league has always defended. Like, they've always made a stand and a focus of them to keep the league integrity or upholding the league integrity. So, like, I'm not sure, like, if the owners will allow him to have that much involvement in the pregame meetings, and if he can have that much involvement, and he is just so bad at the commentating business, I don't know, like, if that's going to continue, if the owner's going to allow that.
At the end of the day, it's Tom fucking Brady. It'll be what he wants to do.
Hmm. He sure was happy that Super Bowl was going that way. I'll tell you that much. The dude was ecstatic.
Wouldn't you?
I mean, sure, I probably just wouldn't transpire it as much to the audience. Like, you know, all he needed to do was clap every time that Mahomes got sacked or threw to a pick. Like, that's basically another Super Bowl win for them. He is just like, okay, I'll put that in the book. That's now, what, 7 Super Bowls or 8 Super Bowls? Perfect. He was having a field day. And I'll ask you this as a segue from this point.
Do you think this impacts Mahomes' legacy negatively? Because now this is the second time that he got blown out in the Super Bowl. He got blown out in the Tampa Bay Super Bowl when Brady was on the other side. Now he gets blown out in this Super Bowl as well. He has three Super Bowls to his name. He's four away from Brady. It felt like getting the three-peat would be something that he would be able to hold over Brady as something that Brady had never done. But what do you think he needs to overcome, if anything, to get back into the race with Brady? Do you think the race is done? Do you think like there's still something that he could do?
He started 3-2 in the Super Bowl as well.
Yeah, but he never got blown out, though.
So. I mean, yeah, but so scoring wasn't as high as it was back then. So it would have been a lot harder for you to blow a team out in like the early 2000s than it is for you to blow a team out in 2024. So no, like I don't think the blowout really affects Mahomes' legacy. At least it shouldn't. Like I forgot who it was. I was watching a CBS report. I forgot who it was. Someone who was on the halftime show, and he said, if you took Patrick Mahomes' legacy right now at the end of the Super Bowl, you stretch it out over 20 years, that's still a Hall of Fame quarterback, dude. And he's done it in 7.
Yeah.
So
I agree. I agree with you, and I think this is similar to the LeBron M. James, Michael Jordan conversation in basketball, in which, like, I don't really think like you should be punished when you make the Super Bowl and don't win it, or when you make the Super Bowl and get blown out, because you still made the Super Bowl. Like, no one would put his legacy in question if he got like blown out by the Houston Texans in the first round. Mm-hmm. That wouldn't really affect him anything. So I don't think like going to the Super Bowl and having that happen to him should change anything either. And I think that's similar to the LeBron James, MJ argument in basketball, because like it's weighted upon heavily on LeBron James that he lost those finals, but like he still went to those finals. It's better to go to the final than be eliminated in the first round by like what, fucking the Knicks or some shit. Like, I don't know. I just feel like people want to feel a certain way when they're talking about Mahomes, and especially when are people defending Tom Brady, and they will use anything to sort of undermine Mahomes in his quest right now to achieve that GOAT status. And I think it's just another bump in the road to the guy. And if he ties, or even if he beats Brady's Super Bowl record, I don't think the blowouts should be weighted against him or anything like that. Because like he also doesn't have like the best coach ever. He has the best coach right now, but I don't think Andy Reid is in the Bill Belichick conversation yet. I think maybe soon enough he will be. And he doesn't have the luxuries that Brady had at the start, with the great defense and whatnot. So I don't really think this should impact him, but I've seen a lot of people making the case that like Brady never got blown out. Mahomes got blown out twice. Like he should probably get like one or two rings more than Brady, which is similar enough to the LeBron James Michael Jordan conversation. It's like for LeBron to surpass Michael Jordan, he would need to get like 8 rings, not 6. 6 because then he would have had like what, 8 losses or something in his record. And that's just not possible because MJ was undefeated. And I just don't like those arguments really, because like you're technically rewarding a guy for losing in previous rounds or losing badly in previous rounds when like a loss is a loss. So I don't know. I feel like this is just another bump in the road to the guy, and he's eventually going to surpass Brady.
I think he's in this weird spot where I don't think I would consider a foregone conclusion that he's going to pass Brady, but at the same time, like, I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that he won't surpass Brady. He's kind of like in this, like, fork in the road where I could see it going like one of two ways. The thing I would be most concerned about, if I was a Kansas City fan or if I was in the Kansas City organization, is doing what the Cincinnati Bengals do, and you see this result, and then you go, okay, well, now we're going to invest half our budget into the offensive line, and now you're giving up 40 points a game, and Mahomes has to throw six touchdowns to win a game. I think that's the thing I would be most concerned about. Sometimes it's just not your night, kid. Like, the Eagles absolutely swarmed, and they didn't even blitz him. They got that pressure with a four-man rush. So
that's the most surprising part. Zero blitzes, six sacks.
Sometimes you just got to admit it's not your night. I do think they do need to make improvements on the offensive line, but I wouldn't go all gung-ho. To be honest, I think I would keep track on the development of Xavier Worthy, because with Travis Kelce regressing, you cannot just go out there and just expect Patrick Mahomes to go out there with no weapons at all. And I would be prioritizing finding whatever the next number one weapon in Kansas City is beyond Travis Kelce.
I do agree. I feel like succession plan to Travis Kelce is something that they're going to need to decide, because I was looking back into that game and some of the plays that he was making, and it really feels like he has taken a step back, and it's just like it's fighter time catching on to him. It's like you look at his speed and how he used to get off of breaks, which was like he was never the most athletic guy. He was never the most like freaky-ish guy.
It's the agility that gets.
It's the agility, exactly. It's like it's his reaction time as well. I was seeing it, and maybe it is some sort of laziness, but like laziness in the Super Bowl, I really don't think so.
Yeah,
I don't think that would be allowed.
Yeah.
So even getting off of the snap, like from the set position to starting to run the route, he was taking a lot of time, like a lot more time than usual. Like it's milliseconds in that scenario, but like it's milliseconds that make the difference, and that used to make the difference, because that's the difference between like him being set in a zone completely wide open and using his football awareness that he had so much, and it was such a great thing of him. That's the difference between him being able to be set in that exact position and getting that a millisecond later, which then it just completely destroys the whole flow of the play. So yeah, him getting open was an issue for him. Him getting off the line was an issue for him. The blocking, I mean, he was never a good blocker, but it's something that is also diminishing as the years go on. So you could really see that he was taking a step back. The Super Bowl was evident. I was looking back at some of the plays that he was having as well, that I wanted to check back when the game was over, and it was very evident that he had lost a step, at least in my eyes. I wouldn't be shocked if it is like a swan song this coming season, or even if it just pulls the plug this year. I think pulling the plug coming off of the loss wouldn't probably be the best thing for him. In terms of like his football competitiveness, if he still has any, because like he has accomplished so much money-wise, fame-wise, career-wise, like at some point the drive is also gone, and I wouldn't be shocked if he pulls the plug even before the start of next season, and if he just calls it a career. Calling it a career off of this sort of loss is something hard to do at times, but in his case I could see it. So succession plan is needed. They have some pieces in there at the tight end position. They also will get Rashee Rice back. I think one thing that they do need to evaluate, during the offseason is how good is Isaiah Pacheco's current health. Because like one thing that was evident to me at the start of the game was that they were passing the ball a lot. Like, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the first like five or six plays that they ran were passes. Never was a run to Pacheco or Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt was completely washed.
Pacheco was the leading force for them last year when he was playing great, especially in the end zone where he was able to get that ball in and his explosiveness as well. I think they need to assess if he is still the same guy or if the injury took something away from him, because it was still a broken leg at the end of the day. And I think those are the two key points on offense that they do need to evaluate, because the offensive line for most of the season was good. I think they were just matched with a team who was full of all-stars. It's like the Mars coming into town. When the receivers are worse and you can get the ball away soon, and when the other team can get pressure with four guys, basic math. Like, you're having five guys blocking, you have the QB, so that's like six guys. Plus, if you have another guy on the offensive line blocking, that's seven guys. That means you will have, four guys running routes around versus seven guys. The math just doesn't add up. And in the end of the day, that's the thing that they do need to correct, I think. Those are the two main things. It's just solving those pieces of the puzzle. On defense, I just think they need to develop the guys that they have right now. I think they have a cheap enough defense, especially on the back line, that they do need to develop those and keep developing those guys. But I still think this is okay for the Chiefs. This was a bad loss, but they've shown that they can bounce back off bad losses. So I think they're going to be in the same position next year. And people will still say that they'll hate it, and then it will be like this year, in which it's the record-setting year for Super Bowl in terms of viewership.
Yeah, that's another thing. I think we do this thing where we like to be edgy and say, no one likes to see the same thing over and over again. But when you look at viewership numbers, it's always up when you have dominant teams like the Brady-led Patriots, like the Mahomes-led Chiefs. So,
It Mahomes was the himself. Highest ever viewership of a Super Bowl ever. I think the halftime show helped somewhat, but I think it was a very minor part of the people that were tuning in. And even the people that tune in for that, it was mostly that. I don't think it really impacted the viewership anything, if anything. Props to the low amount of times that they mentioned Taylor Swift. I really didn't see many. I think they showed her one or two times. And the one or two times that they showed her.
Celebrate.
Yeah, the first time that they showed it, Eagles fans were booing it heavy, because she was technically an Eagles fan growing up. So she was getting booed there, and they basically pulled the plug on that fairly quick. They were just okay, no, we're not showing her anymore. So yeah, overall it wasn't a good Super Bowl because the game wasn't good. But it was, I think it had a few talking points that were interesting. And I don't think, funny enough, even though it was an impactful Super Bowl in terms of the result was completely unexpected by some, I still don't think it was a very impactful Super Bowl. I think it will be talked about a bit more than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers Super Bowl and the one that they blew out Mahomes, because it was a more impressive win. But I don't think it's going to be talked about as one of those Super Bowls that were Mahomes got exposed, or it elevated every single player on the Eagles to another status, or it elevated the Eagles team into a perpetual contender, a Super Bowl contender, that is. I don't think it's going to be an impactful Super Bowl in that way.
I think more or less it's this weird spot where we're waiting to see what the future is. So, like I said, it's a fork in the road. Like I said, are the Chiefs going to collapse and start to fall off the cliff, and you're going to start seeing them be more exposed or try to overcorrect, or are they just going to, is this just a bump in the road and they'll be back at it again next year or in 2 years? I don't think there's any good takes to be had from this Super Bowl. The Chiefs got run through. That's just reality.
That's it. That's what happened. Yeah, and like it would be some, I think it would be a more impactful or more talked about Super Bowl if it hadn't happened before. Like, I feel like the storyline behind it would be like, how are the Chiefs and how is Mahomes going to get back from this? Like, can they be the team that overcomes this difficulty? Are they going to be stuck in a Super Bowl hangover? But I think that all sort of dies down when like that exact thing happened, like what, 4 years ago or 5 years ago? And like they bounced back without much issue.
Yep.
So it's just going to be
the thing that makes this one a little bit more pressure intensive is the regression of Travis Kelce, the urgency to find his replacement, and Kansas City's offensive line potentially. I'm ready to say they need to address the offensive
line. Yeah, because that was also like that. I think the offensive line was much worse versus KC. I think it was rightfully exposed because the pieces weren't in place at that time. I think the pieces are here. Like, as long as they can keep their guys, I still think this is a nice unit. But they just ran into like a scenario in which everything that could have gone wrong went. And it was from the absolute get-go. I don't even think it's just that. I think it was just overall mistakes that happened time and time again. Like some very uncharacteristic mistakes by the Chiefs in terms of like, I remember a play in which there were several moments in that game in which you could feel like if they get the stop, maybe there's some momentum that changes here. If they get a score, maybe momentum changes here. And in all of those moments, the Chiefs either failed or committed mistakes. I remember there were a 3rd and 20-something play for the Eagles still in the first half in which they throw the football and it's incomplete, but there's a penalty flag, like a very dumb penalty flag by the Chiefs that gets the Eagles a first down. I remember they were about to be settling for a field goal, but then there's like encroachment. I'm talking about the encroachment, because it was like a 4th and 4 or 4th and 3, and there's an encroachment by the Chiefs where they just jump earlier, and that gets them a first down, and then they go for a score. A lot of those moments that, like, usual Kansas City Chiefs don't make, like, they are not known to make those mistakes. They were just happening over and over and over again to the Chiefs. There were the pass interference to Goddard at the start. Like, that was a very bogus. I'm not sure if you remember, but like there was the A.J. Brown penalty to start the game that could have been going for a touchdown or a big gain. I think it was a big gain that got called back for a P.I. I think that was a P.I. Like, people were crying about it heavily. And then the refs sort of paid that one back, which I didn't think they need, because I think it was a penalty. But then on the exact next drive, or in that same drive or something like that, Goddard has that pass that is like, it's going to be incomplete. Like, he's not even in the vicinity of the ball, and he gets a light tap from the Chiefs defender. Yeah, and that gets a roughing or a necessary roughness penalty. And they sort of made up for the play. I think there was a lot of things that didn't go Kansas City's way to start, and they were very uncharacteristic sort of things that happened to them. I don't remember a game in which they've made as many mistakes and got as many like silly penalties as that one. I'll leave that and say that as well. Like, I will give props to Mahomes for how he handled the loss. I think that was picture perfect. Our leader should take on the loss. Like, everything he was wearing, everything on him, nothing on the team. So I liked how he reacted to that one. And it shows what he know by now, that Mahomes is a true leader and is a great player. And in my eyes, he's probably going to be the GOAT when it all said and done. Because, like, accountability is his main word. Like, whenever things go wrong, like, he's there. Taking accountability is like he's not getting anything onto anyone's plate. He's not letting anyone take the blame. Even though, I mean, there were a lot of people that could have taken blame. But yeah, I don't think it was a very impactful Super Bowl for the future or for right now, because it didn't really tell us anything that we didn't already know. At least in my eyes. I think the result was the shocking part.
Yeah, watching them unable to do anything, basically. That's what it came down to. Like,
yeah.
Game was over at halftime. Yeah, I mean, you still held up at halftime, but I was like, this game's over, dude. Like,
yeah. My hope on the game was mostly Mahomes and, like, mm-hmm. having him seem like pull the comeback. I mean, he pulled a comeback similar enough versus the Houston Texans like a couple years ago or like 3 years ago or so, mm-hmm. back when Houston still had Watson.
Yep.
I remember he pulled a similar comeback on them. So, I mean, I held on hope, but like when the second half started and it was still the same good old, like he's getting pressure in his face and the interceptions and the fumbles and whatnot, like, I just gave up. I didn't even see the last quarter. I saw it the next day. Because at that point, I had given up.
Consequential. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the halftime show. I'm not sure if you did.
The halftime show was very good. The halftime show was very, very good.
Yeah. He's coming here, actually. Kendrick. He's coming here to Portugal. I tried to get some tickets. But unfortunately, the website.
Oh, I didn't know he does charity.
Jesus Christ, dude. Come on now. The tickets were... How much do you think a ticket is for Kendrick?
Like, normally or in Portugal?
Well, okay, let's say normally and in Portugal. Like, let's say the cheapest and the most expensive. Normally cheapest, it's what?
Probably a few grand.
Okay, and most expensive?
Probably eclipsing 10 grand.
Okay, and how much do you think it is in Portugal?
Like 500.
The cheapest? Oh, buddy, you'll be shocked. The cheapest ticket for Kendrick Lamar in Portugal is 60 euros.
What the fuck is a euro? It was 50 bucks?
It's not 50 bucks. It's like 61 or 62 bucks right now.
Oh my god.
Yeah. The most expensive tickets were 450, if I'm not mistaken.
Jesus. That really is charity.
It's sold out in like what, an hour or two? I'm trying to see if like he's doing a second date, which they usually do. So we'll see. We'll see if I can get tickets for a second date if they do pop up. Because the resale market, it's going to be a blast.
Oh, yeah.
Between that's the scammers and the guys selling the tickets, the cheapest tickets at like a 200% profit.
I fucking hate that's scalpers. That's going to be great. That's another discussion for another day, but I could literally talk about hours about how I think that price gouging and scalping should be banned. In the world.
See? Stay tuned, because the upcoming weeks are going to be fun. Since football is going to be at a low, we're going to be talking about scalping.
Go for it. I think that's good. We should wrap it up here.
Okay.
You have to go.
I was trying to think if there's anything left that I want to talk about, but I don't think so. I think I addressed most points.
Pretty good. I think we've covered all the bases.
Yeah. So, upcoming weeks, it's going to be a bit all over the place. We're still going to be talking about some football. We're going to be talking about some weird-ass things. But, I mean, there's always news in football. Free agency is about to start soon enough. I'm sure there's going to be the franchise tag as well.
Again.
Hey, there's rumors that they're going to franchise tag T Higgins. So.
I'm pretty sure they already did.
Okay, they already did it. Then, perfect. So, there's still going to be things to talk about. There's going to be teams that we need to talk about, like, what can they do in this upcoming offseason. I think it would be fun to sort of, like, fantasize what you would do with a team that is on the low, for example, sort of trying to make it
to make them like take the lowest best, worst to best team in the league. Sort of like, what can they do to be this year's Commanders, for example? I think that would be something fun to do in the upcoming future. So yeah, stay tuned to that. It's going to be a show a week. We're talking about some things that we could do to have more shows come out more regularly as well. So we'll see how that goes. But for now, what we can assure is one football show a week. It's going to be released during the week. So yeah, turn on the auto downloads, guys. That really helps out the show, helps out you knowing when the show comes out. Make sure to like the show. Make sure to subscribe to the show as well. Leave us a 5-star review. Really helps out the show as well. If you're listening on the YouTube, make sure to like, subscribe, leave us a comment and whatnot. All of those good things. So yeah, hope you enjoyed the NFL season. It has finally come to an end. This was just our review of the Super Bowl a bit later than we wanted, but last week was really impossible for us to record. So yeah.
Unfortunately.
Because it would have been much better to release them last week, but it is what it is. It's a week later, but we could digest it a bit better as well. So stay awesome, guys. I'll talk to you next week. Bye.
See you then. Bye.